WUFO 1080 AM on your dial. And yes, it's that time for that subject. You know what I'm talking about. A conversation's about gambling. And we're live in studio with Annika is back. And we're glad to be on air. And we have a guest on the line that we'll be bringing on any moment now. But let's say hello, Annika.
Hi, Jim. Good to be back. Looking forward to our conversation today with Joel Rose.
Indeed. So why don't you introduce?
Well, we know Joel here in Buffalo as the co-chair of Citizens Against Casino Gambling in Erie County, and he is also the chair of the statewide organization, Coalition Against Gambling in New York. This is an issue he has been actively committed to working on for many years. And Joel, maybe we could start by just asking you to tell a little bit. You're really associated with this cause in this area. You're really identified with it. You have been strongly, passionately committed to this. And could you say a little bit about what got you started on this, working on this issue, and why you've stayed
with it? Well, it was really just sort of serendipitous. I was asked by Stan Bratton, who's co-executive director of the Network of Religious Communities, if I would join a group of people who were going to meet to form a local organization to deal with the casino issue. And he thought of, he thought of me because he ran into me while I was walking my dog. We live in the same neighborhood, but he was thinking of me because I had been involved in the group that, you're going to have to bear with me a moment, there's a truck coming down the street. I had been involved with a group that fought against relocating the zoo in Buffalo. He knew that I'd had that sort of local community organizing experience. So I went to this meeting and I ended up being asked to chair this group. And at that time, my feeling about casinos in Buffalo was simply that it wasn't a good fit for the kind of town we have. This Buffalo is a family town, this is sort of a honky-tonk kind of activity. Didn't belong in Buffalo. As I got more into it, the more I learned about this issue, and I really had to learn everything from scratch, the more I realized that I didn't think that this was an activity that helped any community, that it didn't bring jobs, it didn't stimulate other economic development, it impoverished people, and wrecked lives wherever you find it. So the more I learned about gambling, the more I thought this is bad news for everybody.
So the things that you're saying go against everything that we hear. The people say it brings in jobs, it does stimulate the economy.
Lies to be not to put too fine a point on it. Every time you create a job through gambling, it costs you 2 to 3 jobs, and this has been well documented by the leading economists in the field, people like John Kent and Earl Grinnells and Bob Goodman. They'll all tell you that.
How does this happen? Is this because it's
well, it's because it takes money out of the local economy without producing a product that can be exported to bring money into the community. To the extent that you bring in tourists, that's bringing in outside money. But where does the money go? It goes to usually the Las Vegas interests and the finance companies who back the casino. To the owners of the casino, it doesn't go out to people in the community except to the few who are employed there. So a big casino might employ 1,000 people, but the money that it takes out of the community is usually sufficient to unemploy 2,000 to 3,000 people. Mm-hmm.
So the money that people would be spending at other businesses or restaurants, they're spending on the casino instead.
Yeah, it's not just entertainment venues, although it's certainly that. But it's anything that you can spend money on. So hardware stores, drug stores, furniture stores, the things that people would like to buy for their lives, they can't because they spend it at the casino.
Mm-hmm.
And that's true whether the individuals who are doing the gambling are addicted or just spending money casually.
Mm-hmm.
It's still money out of the local economy.
Mm-hmm. So instead, it's not bringing money in, it's just redistributing it, and the people that have businesses locally are not getting it nearly as much as they would if they didn't have that competition.
That's correct. That's correct. And so in city after city, I'm here in Detroit. I happen to be in Detroit for a family event. And Detroit has 3 casinos.
Mm-hmm.
You remember some weeks back there was a news story that had Buffalo as the second poorest city in the country?
Mm-hmm. Yep.
Yes.
As I recall, number one was Detroit.
Uh-huh.
It was the absolute poorest city in the country.
Indeed.
And if you drive through Detroit, you can certainly see that that's true. And like Buffalo, there are good things about what's happening in Detroit, but the casinos certainly have not helped. They've made things worse. Like I say, there are 3 of them here. These are not Indian casinos. It really doesn't make any difference whether they're commercial casinos or Indian casinos. I think one of them, in fact, is owned by an Indian tribe, but it's not based on the sovereignty of land as the one in Buffalo is. So our opposition to casino gambling does not depend on whether it's an Indian casino or not. We're opposed to casinos of any type.
So you're saying any casino is going to be damaging to the community that it's part of?
Yeah.
Yeah, and the evidence is there. I mean, if we look at the numbers of cases rising in the courts, as we look at the numbers of families being devastated by not only a minimum of income but losing the little bit of income they got, mm-hmm. by taking a chance trying to gamble, and indeed it is a problem. Joel, while you're there in Detroit, I don't know if you got a chance to see outside of any of those casinos. I was going to ask you about the area surrounding them.
No, I didn't. On a previous trip, my uncle took me by them. I mean, they're downtown, and it's in an area that is basically empty except for these casinos. But on a nationally, I've read that what you find is that the area right around the casino is relatively free of crime because they patrol it heavily. Mm-hmm. But of course, the crime, people take their criminal behavior out to a wider radius, so that you'll see an effect as far as 50 miles away from a casino in terms of the number of armed robberies and embezzlements, and also just sort of senseless violence, people beating up their spouse or abusing their children, that sort of thing. It's the area around the casino is like the hole in the donut. But
yeah.
The donut is created by the casino.
Mm-hmm.
The donut of high crime.
You know, as you mentioned about crime, and I think an important point for people listening to the program need to understand, is that, when drugs came on the scene, and as it came and people began to see folks who were being really harmed by it and began to see how terrible it was, the voices that would speak against it or speak about it were not resonating. And in many families, the behavior of those who were addicted to drugs, they started to steal from out of pocketbooks and wallets, mm-hmm. take stuff out of the house, and, just rob from around the community to keep up their habits. And thus is the same thing with those who are addicted to gambling. And this is why it's so important that conversations about gambling urge the broader public to begin to weigh in and join in this discussion, because those who have addictions, to satisfy that addiction, not only will they lie, but they certainly will commit crimes to satisfy it. And we don't need
About two-thirds of the people who become addicted will ultimately turn to crime to satisfy the addiction.
You see? Mm-hmm. And that is, you know, too many people are thinking that, oh, well, that's just them, that's not me. But the them part becomes them. It is them. And that the criminal impact affects them and certainly just continues with the devastation.
Yeah, but I mean, you know, anybody who has an addiction, and it really doesn't much matter whether it's a substance abuse type of addiction or a behavioral thing like gambling, that becomes the most important thing in their life, and they will sacrifice anything else mm-hmm. to it, including their own family.
Right.
I've heard stories about people stealing from their children.
Yes.
And these are not people who are, you know, creepy people mm-hmm. to begin with, but this addiction made them do things that they would not otherwise do. Mm-hmm. They felt terrible about it, particularly the people who were trying to overcome the addiction and lead a different kind of life. But they would tell these stories, and it just breaks your heart to hear them.
Mm-hmm.
But of course, we also have people doing things like leaving their small children in their car, locking their car, and going in and gamble. You know, probably the intent is to just gamble for a few moments, but you know, hours later they're still in there. And every once in a while, you read a story about somebody being arrested for doing that. It's happened at Seneca Niagara Casino. It's happened at Casino Niagara in Ontario. It happens probably at every casino.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. So that's an indication of how distorted your priorities can get when you have this addiction.
Mm-hmm.
And people shouldn't think that it won't happen to them. There's no reason why it won't. The biggest single cause of gambling addiction is gambling. As if you're exposed to it, you're at risk to become an addict.
Yeah.
So and gambling causes gambling addiction. Mm-hmm.
And the more opportunities you have around you, the more likely you are to get caught up in it.
Yes.
Yeah. Yeah.
One of the primary researchers in this area is John Welty, who's at the Research Institute on Addictions, which, as people around here know, is part of the University of Buffalo now these days. And he's done several studies now, national studies, that detail the relationship between the number of venues of gambling that are available
mm-hmm.
and the extent to which people gamble and the extent to which they become addicted. Mm-hmm. And it's a clear relationship.
Mm-hmm.
You know, some people say, well, whether we have a casino or not, people who want to gamble will gamble. Well, that may sound logical, but it turns out not to be true. That is, when you have a casino, more people gamble, and people who do gamble, gamble more.
Yes.
And you will have more addicts when you have a casino than when you don't have a casino, by about a factor of two. Within a 10-mile radius of the casino, addiction rates double. And this is all found in Welty's published papers. So, you know, people who doubt that should check it out. You can reach John Welty at 887-2503 in Buffalo. That's his work number, which would probably be the appropriate place to call him, and you can ask him about it. He's not...
if you'd like to make a call, please hang up and try again.
Opponent of gambling as I am, but the facts are the facts, and he will tell you what they are.
Mm-hmm.
That is something. Do you know whether there are any statistics that exist showing, as you mentioned, the rise of gambling and how people, if there's a casino nearby, it will double. Any relationship on the great amount of advertising that goes on by not only the gambling industry but even the state that encourages folks to gamble? Anything on that?
That's a great question, and I don't know the answer. However, I would make this observation. People who pay for advertising don't do it for their health. They do it because it works. And so, I mean, the New York State Lottery spends a great deal of money advertising, which, when you think about it, is an outrageous fact, because they're supposed to be ostensibly capturing the gambling that people would be doing anyway, for education, right? It's always for the children, they claim. and here they are trying to get more people to gamble. And some of the ads for state lotteries...
Joe, we got a call. Go ahead, finish your point, and then we'll go to the caller. Caller, we'll come to you shortly.
Oh, let's take the call.
Okay, here, I'm going to try and do this. Caller, you're there. Caller, you there?
Hey, good day, Jim. Can you hear me?
Yes, fine. Yes.
Great. I really appreciate your program, because you've enlightened me and sensitized me to the whole issue of gambling. And I was just about to ask him about the lotto thing, so it's right on time in terms of what he was about to go into.
Mm-hmm.
I'm definitely, the more I listen to your program, I'm definitely against gambling. I'm wondering if the same anti-casino advocacy program is anti-lotto and anti-numbers. And you kind of skipped over that whole sovereignty issue.
Mm-hmm.
And I like the idea of people getting back land that once was theirs. I like the sovereignty issue. I don't like the gambling issue. I don't like the casino issue. But I was wondering how, you know, like, for instance, the state is about to try to make the Seneca Nation be tax collectors on cigarettes all over again. That's a whole other battle that's looming, that's about to come into, be confronted. So I'm wondering how the guest is thoughts on the lottery system and the number system and the idea of Native Americans getting some of their land back, sovereignty. Without casinos, and if it's sovereign, how can we tell them what to put on their own land?
Great. Well, we're going to ask him that, and thank you for that call. Hello. Bear with us. That was me. We're gonna put that question to Joel. The caller. Joel, can you hear me? We need to get Joel back on. Meanwhile, audience, as you heard, the question it was asking about the relationships as we talk about about gambling and about, you know, pushing back on these casinos. The caller was saying, you know, what about lottery and the number mm-hmm. system? And the caller also brought up a couple of more issues. He brought up the issue about sovereignty. He's in favor of sovereignty for people who own the land, and would like to know where we are on, as where do we stand on that. And as well as that, the issue also related to cigarettes.
Do we have Joel back on this?
Yes.
Joel?
Yes.
Joel? The caller.
Question.
Okay. Did you hear him?
No.
Let me give it to you. The caller asked about, he noted that we speak about the problems of casino, but he wanted to know, did you have a position on lottery tickets and the numbers? He also, two other parts to that, he's in favor of sovereignty for the Native Americans, and he wanted to hear what you may have to say to that. And thirdly, he talked about the whole thing that the state is doing and trying to force the Native Americans on cigarette tax and so forth.
All right, let me answer that as quickly as I can. As far as what you might call lesser forms of gambling, like lottery and that sort of thing, as time has gone on, we have gotten more into those areas, because a lottery is not just a fairly innocuous thing where you used to go in and buy a ticket maybe once a week or once a month for a dollar. Now it's become a big business, a lot of advertising,
And a lot of machines that are like slot machines, Quick Draw, for example. There's a man who is from Watertown who went to jail for I don't know how many years. His name is John Breen, because he embezzled millions of dollars from his daughter, who had made a career in modeling and had been very successful. And she entrusted her money to her father. I think it was her stepfather. Anyway, and he spent it all on Quick Draw. So, you know, if a lottery can do that, it might as well be a casino. It's a matter of degree, and some forms of gambling are more addictive and therefore more harmful than others.
Joe,
but it's all the same thing, really. We don't make that much of a distinction, although we form for the purpose of keeping a casino out of Buffalo. But, you know, slots at the racetracks, it's the same thing. It is effectively a casino. In fact, other states call these things casinos. We don't. We call them racinos, you know, racetracks with casinos. Okay, next question was about sovereignty. We, as an organization, don't take a position on sovereignty. Most of us, I think, are for it, but don't think for a moment that allowing casinos in the heart of a city is advancing Native sovereignty. I mean, some of the most thoughtful Native Americans that I've come to know as a result of this issue are concerned, in fact, that the loss of sovereignty that comes through the arrangements that the tribes have made with the state in order to have casinos. If you know the Senecas, talk to Edna Gordon or Bobby Jones. Across the state, we had as a vice chair of the Coalition Against Gambling in New York, a man named Distant Eagle, who was also known as Reverend James Audlin. He's moving to France, so he's resigning. But also, we have on our board Doug George Canentio, who is a Mohawk married to an Oneida. So he lives on the Oneida Reservation. But these people will tell you the same thing, that first of all, that the governments that New York State has made its deals with are not the legitimate governments of those tribes. They're the puppet governments, as they put it, that were created by the BIA in 1934, and they don't represent the wishes of the people. Now, the traditional Indians don't believe in gambling. Unfortunately, they don't believe in voting either. That's not how they make decisions. They make decisions by consensus. So they are able to elect in these puppet governments, they're able to elect people who will go along with the casino program. But you will never find a tribe where a majority really wants to have a casino. And as I say, they've made the argument that the casinos are actually undermining their sovereignty. Mm-hmm. On the cigarette tax issue, that's not our issue. As an individual, I don't even know what I think about it, you know? I mean, that's a whole other kettle of fish.
So your concern is really about the gambling issue, and
that's
the whole business
of,
the business of sovereignty is secondary. You're against casinos and against the various forms of gambling that cause damage to the community.
Yeah, and as an organization, we haven't taken a position on sovereignty, but I think sovereignty, you know, in its best form, means self-government, and I'm certainly in favor of that. I don't think that the state of New York should tromp all over the Indian reservation telling people what to do, but that's not what we're talking about. We're talking about Indian nations acquiring land
well outside their reservations. This is sometimes called reservation shopping, and declaring it sovereign. And the Interior Department, which is corrupt from top to bottom, going along with it. This is why we're in federal court suing the federal government, you know, under both Republican and Democratic administrations. We've had this business of the Interior Department simply acting as an agent for the Indians, whether what they're doing is legal or not. So in that case, our quarrel is with our own government.
Joel, we have a little more time left, and as you look at the work that you've done over the years, and you realize that you have a chance to broadcast to this community right now, what is it that you most would want us to understand, think about, or become active in doing?
I'm sorry, I didn't catch the question.
What would you most like the listening community to be thinking about, to understand, to know, things that maybe are not widely known or understood or accepted?
I think there are a lot of messages I'd like to leave, but one of them that's very important, and this applies to a whole host of issues, is don't ever think that this is something that you can't control. You know, you can fight City Hall. In fact, we have fought City Hall in the process of carrying on this fight. And you can win. I mean, the government ultimately belongs to all of us. And people need to assert their legitimate rights of control over their elected officials. Mm-hmm. They work for us. We don't work for them. So whatever you think about this issue, let your elected officials know. Let the rest of the public know. Write a letter to the editor. This is something that concerns all of us. Mm-hmm. And even if you don't gamble, believe me, you know somebody well who does, and it affects your life, whether you know it or not.
You're absolutely right, isn't it? That is one of the things as to why conversations about gambling is so important, because for all of us, it gives us a chance to start expressing our concern and our knowledge about a problem that is hurting far too many families, and certainly is an inept governmental plan for economic development. And we, the people, need to push back and say this is not acceptable. We cannot remain silent. We cannot pretend to not see the problems. We look around, as you noted, the donut hole. The same thing as the donut hole in Detroit is a donut hole in Buffalo. You need only go down by Michigan and you will see. And it is time for all of us to continue to talk about what we, the people, need to do in pushing back and beginning to get help for those who are addicted and to find a more better way.
Jim, I want to thank you and Anna Kay for what you're doing with this program. It's a huge development and something we've needed in Buffalo for a long time.
It truly is. And we want to thank you. I mean, part of what draws people's attention is to those who become the forebearers and stand in the gap, even when there's not a crowd. But, you know, since we've been raising this effort up here in Buffalo, we know that it is growing nationwide. The program has shown. We've had contact from every end of the nation, from the East Coast to the West Coast, North and South, and more people are lining up to want to be part of the discussion. And that's what we want to do. A lot of things have started here in Buffalo, and I think this is one of the great things that is really starting. We're raising the talk, the conversation about gambling.
Yeah.
Jim,
I'm sorry, go ahead.
Okay. Joel, I just want to join Jim in thanking you for the work that you've done over the years. It's, as he said, often you're standing in the gap with not many people standing around you, but your commitment has made an enormous difference in this community. So thank you so much.
Yes, and next time when we have you back, Joel.
It's a labor of love, believe me.
Yeah, well, you know, and you have to share the story about some of the hits and licks you've taken along the way. But see, that's how it is. When you're on the right issue, people will try and discourage you and get you to turn around. But you got to know that you know that you're fighting the right fight. Thank you, Joel.
Okay. Yeah. All right, good to talk with friends from home.
Oh, great. Have a safe trip back. We look forward to seeing you. And to you in the Buffalo community, as you know, this is Conversations About Gambling every Monday, 12:30 to 1 p.m., every Monday here on WUFO 1080, the station that brings you medicine over the air. And believe me, this program is helping a lot of people. I want to thank the caller. It's important for us to raise our questions, to express ourselves on this issue. It doesn't matter what side you stand on. You don't have to be anti-casino or pro-casino. You just need to recognize that gambling is causing a huge problem in our community and in the nation, and we, the people, need to do something about it. Anna Kay, won't you?
I'm with you.
All right.
Look forward to talking to you next week.
Indeed. Take care, Buffalo and Western New York. And remember, if you got to go to any of the banking institutions, don't make a withdrawal, make a deposit. And take care of family, take care of self. Have a great day. Thank you.